Thank you. Okay, we're holding on Yud Beis Amud Beis, the last line. We're starting to talk about the idea we said in the Mishnah that that Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yerukas, for vegetables. So we started discussing the point that we go with vegetable, with most vegetables, we go according to Lakita. Literally, Lakita means when it's picked. But we Tosfos mentions further on in the sugya that it doesn't really mean actually when it's picked. It really means when it's ready to pick. On the other hand, the Rambam and many other Rishonim literally that it means when it's picked. We also mention in this connection the idea that with other kinds of produce, for example, we said as far as tavua, which means Rashi says grain and grapes and olives, is their mishi avu shlish. What? Good morning. Yeah.
It's the birdlands in the middle.
Once they develop one shlish, one third of their growth, then it's the time when then that's the year they belong to for Meiser. We're also talking about that can be the year that they belong to as far as Shemitah and also that at that point if you harvest it and do Gemar Malacha with it, it's going to be Chayiv and Meiser, etc. So we said in this connection that the Pasuk tells us when it talks about Hakel, it says that Hakel takes place in Sukkos of Shnas HaShmita. Now what's Shnas HaShmita? It's really 2 weeks after Shmita is over. So it means that you have produce that you're taking in on Sukkos, that you're harvesting or taking in on Sukkos, and it belongs to the seventh year, it belongs to Shmita because it grew at least one third before Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, we see that there are certain kinds of produce where the one third makes the difference. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Zeira Lo Rav Asi." So Rav Zeira asked Rav Asi, "How do we know that the pasuk is referring only when the crop grew at least one third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah? The Duma Le Ayel Klal. Maybe we're not talking about produce that began growing before Rosh Hashanah at all. Maybe it wasn't anywhere near one third. But the Kamar Achmana Tashmit retains a lot of Chagas Sukkos. Maybe the pasuk is telling us Shmita extends until Sukkos. Like this, we said that that Shmita runs from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But we also have the concept of Mesif and Mechol HaKodesh. So maybe that means that we have to extend Shmita. Maybe the pasuk is telling us that the restrictions of Shmita extend until Sukkos." And the answer is Lois Sakadaitach. Says Rav Ashi, you can't think that way. Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk that describes Sukkos. V'chag ha'osif itzei sashana. You have another pasuk. You have another pasuk that describes Sukkos as the yomtiv of osif when the year is going out. Now osif literally means in gathering. But let's figure out what that means. And once we understand that pasuk, then we're going to see how it relates back to this matter of one third grown. So my osif, what do we mean by the word osif? Does it mean simply, it means in other words, that the produce is drying in the fields all summer and now you have a yomtiv that comes that time of year when you're bringing it inside, as we talked about a few days ago, that Tishrei time is the time before the rain starts when you bring in all that crop, when you bring in all those crops that were drying and put them in your barn. If that's all it means, then the pasuk doesn't need to tell us that. Hoksib ba'aspacha. That the pasuk the pasuk also continues ba'aspacha when you gather in. So we already know that Sukkos takes place at the gathering time. So what does it have to say v'chag ha'asif? Twice in the same pasuk it mentions this concept of gathering in. Ela mai osif kotzer. Rather, we can say that v'chag ha'asif means the yomtiv during which you can be harvesting. In other words, osif is that you're gathering in. It can mean that you're harvesting right now and gathering some. What you harvest during that time belongs to the previous year. So in other words, the pasuk is telling us v'chag ha'asif v'tzei sashana when the year is going out. Now, what do you mean when the year is going out? Sukkos is 2 weeks into the new year. It means that what you harvest and gather together during the Yom Tov of Sukkos of the year after a Shemitah belongs to the previous year. And the Kimlahu the Rabbanon, now that Rabbanon know as a fact, the Chol Tavua Sheniktzer B'Chag, that any harvest, that any grain or what have you, that is harvested during the Sukkos, via duashe via shlish lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Then it has to be that it grew at least one third of its growth before the before Rosh Hashanah. In other words, it wouldn't be mature yet to harvest on Sukkot unless it had grown at least one third of its growth before Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, that's where we get the one third from. Since the pasuk since the pasuk is implying with the extra words of Chaga Asif that we're not just saying it's the Yom Tov of gathering in the harvest that you previously harvested in Nisan and Iyar and Sivan and now is drying and now you're bringing it in, the extra words Chaga Asif also imply that there's what you're harvesting for the first time now during Sukkot and gathering it and bringing it in, that belongs to B'tzei Sashana, so B'tzei Sashana, and it's calling it the end of the year. So we see that it's the end in the sense that it still belongs to the previous year because it grew a certain amount during that previous year. And what is that amount? The Chachamim figured out that it's at least one third. Which Tosfos says, I mean, the fact is that pasuk itself wouldn't be enough. If we didn't have the pasuk, the Moed Shnas HaShmita B'Chag HaSukkos that we quoted previously, we still would have said that, okay, it means Asif, fine, the pasuk is its calling. It's the Yom Tov of ingathering because it takes place at the time of ingathering. Only when we have the other pasuk that also calls it the Moed Shnas HaShmita B'Chag HaSukkos, then that tells us there's something to look out for over here, something that implies that Sukkos in a certain sense belongs to the previous year. So the combination of the two psukim is what tells us this din, says Rav Asi. However, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah L'Rav Zeira, but Rav Yirmiyah asked Rav Zeira, is that really so? If you're telling me it's all based on that the Chachamim figured out when, at what point the crop has grown by one third, so you're saying they figured out that that as long as it grew one third before Rosh Hashanah, it'll be ready to harvest during Sukkot. Is that in fact the case? The Kimlahu the Rabbanan ben Shlish L'Pachas Mishlish, are the Chachamim really able to determine the cutoff point between a third and less than a third? Now, if one third meant the amount of time that it grows, then it wouldn't be that hard to do that. You'd know a particular type of produce takes X number of days to grow, divide that by three, and there's your shlish. But it doesn't. It means one third of its growth, we talked about yesterday, it can mean when the seeds are mature enough that if you plant them, they'll sprout. It can mean one third of the fully grown size of the eventual seed or the eventual plant or whatever, and that can be very hard to determine. So how do we know that the Chachamim determined it to such accuracy? Amalei, so Rav Zeira tells him, who was Rav Yirmiyah's Rebbe, tells him, Lava minalach, haven't I previously told you? Loi tapik napshich lebar mehokosa. Don't take yourself out of the bounds of halacha. In other words, don't start questioning the shiurim of the Chachamim. When they say a shlish, they mean exactly a shlish, no more, no less. For example, you have kol midas chachamim kenhu. When it comes to all midas of chachamim, it's like that. They give you an amount, and that's what it is. And then we're not going to go questioning and tampering with it. Which you have the Ritva learns really that what it means is that in other words the Chachamim themselves, what they do is fine. The Chachamim themselves maybe don't determine it to 100% accuracy, but in other words they need loy plug after all. They can't start giving rules that are going to be flexible. They have to give us a certain rule, and therefore you got to follow that rule and not start questioning it. From Rashi's Loshin is Mashma over here, it says Mitzumtzemes, is Mashma not like that though, that he says the Chachamim actually know to the nth degree of accuracy. And he gives a bunch of examples, which by the way, so Rav Yirmiyah himself eventually got himself into trouble with this kind of thing. You have the story in Bava Basra where he asks the question that the Gemara talks about over there about a fledgling bird that doesn't know how to fly yet, that it can walk up to 50 amos from its nest. We touched on it in Beitza as well, and Rav Yirmiyah asked the question. So, what happens if you find a bird with one leg inside 50 amos and the other leg outside? And it says they threw him out of the Beis Medrash for that. So Rashi over there actually says they threw him out because he's asking like impossible questions, not really impossible, but like highly unlikely questions. How likely is it you're going to find like that? Tosfos, in fact, says over there, what do you mean? So what's wrong with it being unlikely? There's many less likely things that the Gemara asks all the time. Rather, what it is it relates to all Gemara over here. Rav Yirmiyah, in effect, is saying, I don't really believe that when the Chachamim said that the bird can't walk more than 50 amos, that it really means that's the cutoff point. It means it's around 50 amos. So what happens if it's a little bit outside? And the Chachamim threw him out for the same reason as Rav Zeira is telling him off over here. If the Chachamim say 50, then it means 50, no less. And no more, no less. So the same thing over here, yeah.
That would mean that it's obvious that because this one leg is outside the 50, then it's over 50 and he's outside of that, and he's never get there naturally from the nest.
Right. So then it would mean somebody had to drop it off there or something. Right. Right. Which in fact, later on in Bava Basra, the Gemara says that eventually they readmitted Rabbi Yirmiyah to the Beis Medrash when they sent him a question in Halacha, and he answers in a very humble way. He says, I'm not really worthy that you should be answering, that you should be asking me this question, but you know, here's what I think," or something to that effect. So they realize that now he has the kind of bittul that a Talmid Chacham needs to be able to learn Torah, and they readmitted him to the Beis Medrash. Anyway, so Rav Zeira tells him, "Kol midas chachamim kein hu." That's how the midas of the chachamim are. Everything is exact. For example, bar boim sahu toivel, you toivel in 40 saw of water. Bar boim sah chasu kurtov any yachalit b'mehen. But if the 40 saw is missing even one kurtov, which a kurtov is 1/64 of a lug, and since how many lugim are there in a saw? There's 4 lugim to the calf and 6 calvim to the lug, so 24. And then there's 40 saw. So one quarter would be like less than 1/60,000th of the mikveh. And still, any yachalit b'mehen, you can't tovel in that. So we see that a difference of a quarter, or even less than a quarter, Tosfos says even a drop would make a difference. The point is 40 saw. No, a drop is less. Oh, but yeah. But still, yeah. So 40 saw is 40 saw. The same thing, for example, kabeitza metame tumas oichlin. Only a kabeitza or more food can be metame other food. Kabeitza chaser shum any metame tumas oichlin. But if that kabeitza is missing a piece the size of a grain of sesame, which is very small, any metame tumas oichlin, then it's not metame other food. There is a machlokas we're showing him, by the way, in that we say metame. What about for the food itself to become tame? Is it that you need a kabeitza for it to become tame, or is it that it can become tame any amount, but to be metame other food, you need a kabeitza? Whatever, but there you definitely need a kabeitza, and then less than that, it's not going to be metame other food. Similarly, shloshal shloshal metame midras. Only when you have a piece of cloth at least 3x3 tfachim is it tame if a zavar or what have you sits on it, because that's the amount that a person can sit on. It's missing one thread, then it's not matamah tumas midras. Now, in each of these cases, we're talking about something that the chachamim calculated. We're not talking about something where it says beferush in chumash that this is the amount. In each case, the chachamim figured it out based on an implication of a pasuk. In the case of a mikveh, it's that you need to have the amount of there's a volume that will fit the human body, and the chachamim calculated that at arba'im sa'ah because it's 3 cubic amas. In the case of Tumas Oichlin, the Pasuk says any food that can be eaten, Mikola Oichel Asher Ye'ochel, meaning the amount of food that can be eaten at once, and the Chacham figured out that a person can swallow a kabeitza at once, no more than that. In the case of Midras, the Chacham figured out that 3 tfachim is the minimum amount for a person to sit on. But in all those cases, you're going to say, so what do you mean? And a person can't sit on a piece of cloth a tiny bit less than 3. But no, that's how the Midas Chachamim are. So sort of Zeira is telling Rabbi Yirmiyah, don't take yourself out of the bounds of halacha by questioning whether these are really so and trying to fudge them. That's the point. You have big people and small people. Nevertheless, the Chachamim calculated sort of. We had, for example, in Yuma a similar thing that we talked about there, that a kesebes, the size of a large date, is the amount that if a person eats it on Yom Kippur, it's chayav karis. And the question and the Gemara established over there, the reason is because that's the amount that takes the edge off a person's hunger. He doesn't feel inui anymore. So then the Gemara asks, what about? I mean, would the same thing apply to a person the size of Oig Melech HaBashan? And the answer is yes, it still has an effect. It has a smaller effect on him, but it still has a measurable effect. Whereas with a regular person, it has a larger measurable effect. So maybe the same thing with the 3 tefachim here. Maybe the Chacham calculated, no matter what the size of the person, the minimum is 3. Yeah, from Rashi, what?
Did the Chachamim decide also the shear of a matzah on Pesach, a pras?
Well, so there you're not Kedei Achilas Pras you're talking about. Kedei Achilas Pras, we learn from Kedei Achilas Pras. Yeah, I mean, that's in general, we say Shiurin are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And among the Shiurim is the matter of Kedei Achilas Pras. So some of them, so we're not talking about some of them over here. When we talk about when in fact the Gemara, in fact, when the Gemara discusses elsewhere in Psachim and in other places about this matter of Shiurin or Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and then the Gemara says, what about Mitra? It's not a Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. We learn it from the implication of the Pasuk. And the answer is, the Gemara says, you're right. When we say Shiurin, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, we're talking about a different aspect of the Mitra. The fact that all of your body has to go in it, the fact that even your hair, etc. So there are certain things that are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, meaning that Hashem told Moshe without there being a source for it in the pasuk, and that's how it is. Now we're talking about things which Hashem said, for example, that. So let's take the first example. A person is tameh, he has to tovel in a mikveh. The pasuk just says, "But rochatz b'mayim es kol b'sara." It doesn't specify an amount. The Chachamim, which evidently has to mean even the Chachamim of Moshe Rabbeinu's times already, because it was Negeya right away, had to figure out, well, how much is that amount of water in which Kol B'Sorei is fit? And they said, well, fit. And they sat down and figured out that it's 40 Sa'ah. So now Reb Zeira is telling Reb Yimya, that's what it is. Once the Chachamim established that shiur 40 Sa'ah, then that's that.
So 1 second, I'm asking for matzah specifically. Is it a concept?
The concept that if you eat something and then break and then eat again, and as long as it's the chelos pras, that it all combines together, we learn that from something involving the halachas of a house with tzaras. So the pasuk says it, and the Gemara mentions that as one of the shiurim. Actually, the Gemara mentions that as a shiur that we learn based on a pasuk where it says eretz chito soda, the shivas aminim, and we learn from that. So it could be that it means that it's another one of these shiurim that the Chachamim calculated and figured out that it could be that it's actually halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, which the Gemara seems to say as much in other places. Whatever the case, yeah, that would be another example. Obviously, Reb Zeira is not going through all the possible examples. Okay, anyway, let's go.
So it is or it's not?
So I don't know. It could be one of the ones the Chachamim established, or it could be one of the ones which is halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. Then Reb Yumya rethought himself and said, you know what? My question was badly premised anyway. Even according to my own svara, that I think that not always are these shiurim necessarily 100% accurate. Nevertheless, at least in this case, I can show, based on another discussion of the Chachamim, that in fact the Chachamim are able to know the exact difference between shlish and less than shlish. How so? Debo minei chavraya mera kahana. The Chachamim of the Yeshiva asked Rav Kahana, Omer sheikrivu Yisrael b'knisasan la'aretz, when the Jewish people brought the Omer, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they arrived, they crossed the Yarden on Yud Nisan, they celebrated Pesach there a few days later, and they brought the Korban Omer, which it doesn't say in so many words in the Pasuk that they brought it, and the Gemara is going to ask soon how we know they did. But on the assumption that they did, the question is, where did they get the barley for it? Im terma de ayo v'yad nochri, are you going to say that it fully developed and it was ripe in the hands of the goyim? In other words, it ripened before they came into Eretz Yisrael. Well, then you can't use that for the oymer. Sircham amar achmana v'loik tzir nochri. The pasuk says that you have to bring from your harvest, not from the harvest of a goy. As Tosfos points out, even though it's true that Eretz Yisrael is an inheritance for the Jewish people ever since the times of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, nevertheless, at least if a goy plants in land that doesn't belong to him, the crop itself belongs to him, and that's what we're dealing with over here. So the Gemara says, "Mimai da." Now the Ran, by the way, asks the question: so why can't they bring from Avra Yarden? They already conquered Avra Yarden months earlier, and they had it. It was in Jewish hands already. And he says, because Lachatchila, the Omer is supposed to be brought from Eretz Yisrael proper, in particular from Eretz Yehuda. We're not going to assume that the very first time they brought the Korban Omer, that they did it in a b'dievedik way. Which, by the way, the Rabbi Yosef Engel learns from that a point about the relevant to Hanukkah. We have the famous question: they could only find one pach shemen tahor. But the question is, so what? So all the other oil was tameh. So what? Tumah hutra b'tzibur, tumah dechoya b'tzibur. Why couldn't they use that oil? Why did they dafka have to use the pach shemen tahor and then wait 8 days for new oil, and meanwhile there has to be a nest? And one answer is because they're rededicating, they're restarting the avoda, and when you're restarting something, it's got to be in the best way. It's got to be in the chiddushic way, not any kind of b'dievedik way. So therefore, they must. So therefore, even though b'tumah would be b'dieved fine, but l'hatchila tumah d'chuyah b'tzibur, and they didn't want it. And when it comes to rededicating, when it comes to restoring the avodah, they can't use that. Same thing as we're saying over here. That the same thing as the Ran is saying over here. That the omer, the very first time they're going to bring it, is not going to be in a b'dieveddik way where they're bringing from Evra Yad. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so mimai dakribu. So how do we know b'chlal that they brought a korban omer? Duma lo yakribu. Maybe that year they didn't bring a korban omer. The answer is lo sakadai. You can't think that d'chtiv, because the pasuk says vayoychlu me'avur ha'oret mimochras ha'pesach. The pasuk describes that they ate from the produce of the land mimochras ha'pesach on the 16th of Nisan, which is the day they brought the omer, implying mimochras ha'pesach ochel me'ikra lo ochel. So implying only on that day are they eating from the grain of Eretz Yisrael me'ikra lo ochel, but they're not eating it any earlier, implying da'akribu omer v'hader achim. First they brought the korban omer, only then were they starting to eat from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, because before that it was chadash. Which a few interesting things on this. First of all, there's a Tosfos over here, the Tosfos Dakrivu, which brings a question from the Evan Ezra. Now the Evan Ezra actually, he wandered around a lot. So it's brought that he had a son that a terrible tragedy happened with him. He shmadzach, and no historians argue whether it was willingly or unwillingly. And then shortly afterwards he passed away. And then the Evan Ezra for the rest of his life couldn't find any place where he was where he could live for any length of time. He was just too crushed by that. So he converted to Islam. Whether he did it willingly or unwillingly, historians argue. But anyway. So it was a terrible tragedy for the Evan Ezra. So he started wandering around throughout the Jewish world. So at one point he made it to, he himself was from Spain originally. He made it in the end to northern France at one point, and he got to know Rabbi Natan, and they became good friends. So now Tosfos over here mentions a question that the Evan Ezra asked Rabbi Natan on Or Gemara over here. The word Pesach in Torah terminology doesn't mean the Yom Tov of Pesach as we do. That's called Chag HaMatzis. Pesach in Torah terminology means the day of bringing the Korban Pesach. Mimacharas HaPesach will be the next day, the 15th of Nisan. After all, the pasuk says Mimacharas HaPesach Yotzu Bnei Yisrael. The Jewish people left Mitzrayim on Macharas HaPesach. They didn't leave on the 16th of Nisan. They left on the 15th. So what is all Gemara saying over here that Macharas HaPesach means the 16th? So Rabbi Natan explains that you're right. Actually, what the pasuk means is the pasuk is split in two. The pasuk starts saying, "Vayoychlu me'avur ha'aretz." They started eating from the grain of Eretz Yisrael, meaning from Yoshan, that they ate matzahs and toasted grain because they couldn't yet eat chadash. Then be'etzem ayyem azeh. Then the pasuk continues be'etzem ayyem azeh, which that part refers to the 16th of Nisan, which is called be'etzem ayyem azeh in connection with the korban omer. Now they could start eating chadash after the korban omer is brought. So he tells the Evan Ezra, you're right, Mimachras HaPesach does mean the 15th, not like you would understand from a superficial reading of Or Gemara over here, that it means the 16th. And then he goes on to say, so in that case, what's the chiddush of it? The chiddush is that they wanted to eat mon as long as possible. As long as they had it, they continued to eat it. And then Tosfos brings another possibility also, that Pesach can mean not only the day you bring the Korban Pesach, which is Erev Pesach, but also the night you eat it, which is the night of the 15th. So that means, therefore, Mimacharas HaPesach will be the next day, which is the 16th. So therefore, it does fit even on the simpler reading of the Gemara. Anyway, the fact that the Pasuk implies that they only started eating Chadash after the Omer was brought implies that they brought a Korban Omer. Because after all, if not, then you have the different opinions in the Gemara, whether you have the different opinions in the Gemara, which we learned in Sukkah, when there's no Korban Omer, does Chodesh become Mutter immediately in the morning of the 16th, and it's only a Takana of Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai to not do that, or is it that it only becomes Mutter after the end of the 16th, which Tosfos says, or Gemara evidently is following that Shita, that if they hadn't brought the Korban Omer, they wouldn't have been able to eat Chodesh the whole rest of the 16th. There is, by the way, a very interesting point that Bach makes in his Pirush on the tour. He parses all Gemara. He says, why does the Gemara have to go through the whole question and answer and everything to say before the Omer they can't eat Chodesh? So he learns actually from the implication of the Gemara that in fact produce that was grown by Goyim is not subject to the Issur of Chodesh. And therefore, so that's why the Gemara has to kind of prove in a side way that they brought the Korban Omer, the fact that the Pasuk makes a point of mentioning that they ate Chodesh only afterwards. So on the other hand, the Taz and the Shach argue with the Bach and says it doesn't really follow from Or Gemara. You could say that the Gemara is bringing the whole question and answer and getting and then proving in that way that they brought the Korban HaOmer because of other considerations. L'maisa, you have the Minhag Chabad is that we do follow the Bach in that, and therefore in Chutz La'aretz generally we're not worried about Chadash because pretty much all the grain is grown by Goyim. And it's in Chutz La'aretz as well. And the Bach holds, again, according to his Shitta, that Chodosh doesn't apply to that. You know, it's Yisrael, obviously, that doesn't work. And many people hold, not like the Bach, you have in the Velt, there's a reason why your packages are often labeled Yoshan, to show that even according to the Shach and Taz and everybody else, there's no problem with them. Okay.
So the Shach and Taz say
that you cannot eat Chodosh, even that was grown by a Goy. And the Bach says you could.
So the Bach goes by the Bach.
Right. In particular, because so the Alter Rebbe describes the whole machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, and he says people want to be makel lo hipsid. Where we get it from actually is it's brought that the Baal Shem Tov followed, that the Baal Shem Tov followed the Bach halacha l'maisa. One time they brought him mashka, I think, made from Chodosh, and he said the Bach is roi to rely on, and he drank it. So something like that, I think. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So continues Rabbi Yumya. So the point is, we see from the implication of the pasuk that first they brought the korban omer, only then did they start eating the new crop. Now we have to then ask mehechan hikrivu. So again, the question is, where did they get the barley for? Given that we know now that they brought the korban omer, where did they get that barley from? Since, as we said, if it matured while it was still owned by goyim, then you can't bring the omer from it anyway. And again, if the Ran says to bring from Eber Ayarden is not mitzvah menamukar. Amalahen, sort of Kahana, answers these Chachamim. This is all Rabbi Yumya quoting this and saying, based on this, I realize that my original question about Shlish is misplaced. Sort of Kahana answers them, Kol Shalai Hevi Shlish Biab Nachri. What happens is they took from grain that had not yet grown to one third of its growth while the Goyim had it. So in other words, they came into Eretz Yisrael, somebody went and bought or took over or whatever a field. At that point, the grain in it was not yet one third grown. And then by the time it came for the korban omer, it was grown enough for them to be able to bring the korban. So now, Rabbi Yumya says, B'duma ayov lekim lahu. Now you have to ask, maybe it already grew one third and they can't know easily whether it was one third or less than one third. And then Rabbi Kahana's answer wouldn't work. Elakim lahu. Obviously, they knew. Hachanami Kimlahu, therefore, Rabbi Yumya says, you know what, I realize that at least in this case, the Chachamim are able to tell the difference between one-third grown and less than one-third grown. Otherwise, Rav Kahana's answer of how they brought the Korban HaOmer wouldn't work. Mind you, actually, Gilyan HaShas, Rav Akiva Eger, asks, I mean, there's still a difference. I mean, Rav Yumya's question was about how we know that a particular crop that we harvested during Sukkot, that 2 weeks earlier, before Rosh Hashanah, it was already one-third grown. Here we're talking about right now, when you buy or take over this field, whether you know whether the crop in it has grown one-third or not. That second one is a lot easier to tell than the first. Still, though, okay, I mean, Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't answer the question, but okay, you know, the answer could be, like, you know, they made a careful note for themselves, like, of what it looked like before Rosh Hashanah, and then they looked again at it at Sukkot and compared. Okay, so the question is, v'dumaloi ayoklal, why? Maybe what you could say is, they could find grain that hadn't yet begun growing at all when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, and then obviously they know it's far less than shlish, and they don't have to tell whether it's shlish. Aval heichad ayo riva, but let's say, for example, it was a quarter grown, bein shlish, l'pachas mishlish lekim lahu, maybe they wouldn't be able to tell the difference between shlish and less than shlish, so still, why does Rav Kahana's answer force us to say that they know the exact cutoff point between shlish and between less than shlish and shlish? And the answer is loy sakadaitach. You can't think that way because there was not enough time. The pasuk says va'om olam mina yarden ba'osav lachodesh. They came out of the yarden and entered Eretz Yisrael proper on the 10th of Nisan. The isakadaitach the loy ayo klal. If you're going to say that the grain didn't start growing at all before they came into Eretz Yisrael, v'chamsha yomi mikamalia, how could it possibly fully develop in 5 days? To the point where you could bring it, or 6 days really, to the point where you could bring it for the korban omer, obviously not. So it must mean that it was at least partially grown. Nu, the Gemara says, Elamai da'il riva danka. Okay, so what are you going to say? It grew one quarter or six? Akati b'chamisha yomim mikamalia. Still, it's not going to be able to go from there to fully mature in only 5 days. So either way then, so what are you talking about? So what would you have to say? Sometime the crops in Eretz Yisrael can ripen faster. Eretz Tzvi Ksivah. The pasuk describes Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Tzvi. Where Literally, the simple meaning of tzvi means the desirable lamb, like we had a couple of days ago with tzvyon and nivru, where Rashi says that they agreed to be created. But the word tzvi literally means a deer, and it means, the Gemara explains elsewhere, that it means just like a deer runs really fast, the same way the crops in Eretz Yisrael ripen faster than they do in other places. So therefore, so you could say by the same token, maybe what it means is that it didn't start that grew less than a third while before they came into Eretz Yisrael, and it was still ripe enough to bring for the Korban Arim. So therefore, so you could maybe have that it grows, that it fully grows in 5 days, and therefore the proof from the discussion that Rav Kahana had with the Chachamim is not really such a solid one. Maybe the Torah grew indeed much less than a third, or maybe it grew, maybe up to a third, but maybe somewhat less, but still maybe it didn't grow at all. And it managed to grow in the climate of Eretz Yisrael. It grows in 5 days, which Tosfos points out. I mean, we said before that you need at least 2 weeks. We talk about Shlish before Rosh Hashanah, and then it's fully grown on Sukkos. The difference is Tosfos says usually when you're harvesting grain, it has to be completely ripe. Yeah, the Gemara is assuming that under normal circumstances that's going to happen in only 5 days. You need a couple of weeks. Here we're talking about for the Omer, where as it is, you harvest it when it's still full and fresh and moist and whatever. So it's not completely dried out like the way regular grain that you harvest is. So that could be finished to reach that point of its growth could happen conceivably in only 5 days. Okay. So the bottom line is, therefore, that we have the discussion with Rav Kahana, but it doesn't necessarily show 100% for sure that they, in fact, knew when it had grown shlish, because conceivably you could have where maybe it didn't grow at all, and it grew the entire amount from immaturity to the point where it's ready for the Omer in only 5 or 6 days. Okay. However, we started, though, with the discussion that how do we know that shlish is the point when produce is chayev and meiser, and which year it belongs to. We said based on the fact that the pasuk tells us that the pasuk implies by the words chag osif that crops that are harvested during Sukkos already started growing shlish before Rosh Hashanah. And we said the reason why we're saying is because the word chag osif is extra. So now let's revisit that point. Maskif Rav Chanina umi matis amrit dehai osif katzeru. How could you possibly say that the word osif in that pasuk means harvesting, such that you're going to explain it means b'chaga osif b'teitz hashana, the yomtiv when you harvest that belongs to the end of the previous year because it started growing during the previous year? We said, okay, so why is that? Because the pasuk continues, because the pasuk says b'osbacha when you gather, but we have a pasuk that says b'osbacha migonecho mikvecha, that Sukkos takes place when you're gathering. From your barn where you threshed your teruah and from your wine press, and we learned in Masechta Sukkah that the pasuk is teaching you by that you make schach out of things that are left over in the goyin and the yekev, the straw that's left over from the threshing and the branches that are left over after you take off the grapes and press them. So therefore, so we see that ba'osbacha over there means not to teach you that it's the time of year of ingathering, but rather that you take things that were left over from the ingathering and use them for the schach. So therefore, so you can say that the ba'osbacha in the earlier pasuk that we quoted is also telling you that it's the yomtiv that takes the yomtiv that is made using ba'osbacha. So now we would understand the pasuk is saying v'chaga osif b'tzeis hashana, the yomtiv of osif, where osif means, as we usually understand it to mean, the ingathering of the crops that were in the field drying all summer. What yomtiv is that? V'osbacha es ma'asecha min asada. It's the yomtiv that you're going to make by gathering the leftovers that are in the field, namely the straw and the branches and whatnot, and making yourself a sukkah with them. So therefore, chaga osif is not extra. So you can't say it means katzir. It could mean ingathering, like we usually understand. Amr Abzeira. So Abzeira says, "Uh-oh, Hal Milsa Havoy Biyadan." We had a good thing going over here. We had a good explanation of how we know the shlish. But also, Rav Chanina shot a benarga, and now Rav Chanina came and chopped it down with an axe. So we need a new explanation. Ela Minolan. So where do we get the idea of shlish being a cutoff point? To the Tanya Rav Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, as we learn in a Braisa, that Rav Yonasan ben Yosef says, when the pasuk describes the pasuk talks about that. It's going to come Shemitah. You're going to wonder, what are we going to eat for the next couple of years if we can't plant and harvest and what have you during Shemitah? So Hashem says, I'll give you a bracha, but also a satvua l'shloish hashanim, and it will produce crops for 3 years. So al tikri l'shloish ela l'shlish. Don't read the word as l'shloish for 3 years, but rather l'shlish, that one third. You're going to have the crops that grew one third before Shemitah began, and those are going to be what you live off of. So the Gemara says, "Vahami boiler the gufei." What do you mean? You need that word l'shloish hashanim to for the actual context. The pasuk is asking, the people are asking, "What are we going to eat?" And the answer is, you're going to have enough for 3 years. Because the reason you need for 3 years, by the way, is because you need part of the sixth, because you did your harvest during the sixth. You need to eat for the rest of the year of the sixth, and the whole seventh, and the eighth. Because if you didn't plow and plant during Shemitah, you don't have a crop in the eighth year. So therefore, it has to extend to that until you get to the point. What it is the beginning of the eighth year, Sukkot time, when usually you would be gathering in your harvest that was drying in the fields all summer. You don't have a harvest to gather in because you didn't harvest during Shemitah. Instead, what happens is Cheshvan time of the eighth year, you're plowing. Later on, you're planting. The crop is grown by Nisan Iyar Sivan time, then you harvest it, then you leave it to dry, and it has to end up drying there until the beginning of the ninth year, and then you gather it in. So you need the crop from before Shemitah to last all that amount of time, from the end of the sixth until the beginning of the ninth. So you need that word l'shloish for l'gufei to explain what the answer is to the people who are going to wonder. The answer is ksiv krachrina. Sure, but you have another pasuk that says uzraitim as a shana shminis. You'll be able to plant during the eighth year. It's fine. The eighth year is a regular year. You can plant. Va'achaltim in a tavur yashin. You're still going to be eating from the old crop ad shana shias until the ninth year. So we see right there the pasuk is telling you how long you need it for, from the sixth to the ninth. And we know easily enough that from sixth to ninth is 3 years. So the pasuk didn't have to tell us that it's 3 years, and therefore the word l'shloish is available for a drasha. To bring it a little closer to Pshuta Shel Mikra, actually, there's a couple of interesting explanations. There's an explanation from the Vilna Gaon that says the connection is, the Pasuk is implying that once it's already one-third grown, then already it's mature enough, it's mature enough in a certain sense that you could eat it. Therefore, the Pasuk is telling you it's going to grow shlish, but it's going to grow so much larger and fatter than usual that the same number of grains will be three times the size in the year before Shemitah, and you'll be able to live off it for 3 years instead of one as usual. Yeah.
And that always happens every year.
So it happened. That's a famous thing that it says that this is one of the proofs that Moshe Rabbeinu could not possibly chas v'shalom have made up the mitzvahs, because what human being could make such a promise where the first Shemitah already it's not going to work? Yeah. So
and for Yovel, according to one opinion,
yeah. For it. In fact, the Malbim says on this pasuk that's another reason why the Gemara Darshans over here the word l'shloish, because after all, as it actually points out on the pasuk over there, when Yovel comes, you need it for 4 years because you have Shemitah and Yovel back to back, and yet the pasuk is not mentioning it. Therefore, it means when the pasuk says l'shloish, we use it to darshan this word l'shlish. And the point is, again, the crops that grew shlish during the sixth year, those still count as sixth year produce, because even though you only harvest them long afterwards during Shemitah, that doesn't matter. They belong to the sixth year. And that will be enough to last you however many years you need, 3 years or 4 years, as the case may be. Okay, so that's where we learn the concept of shlish from.
They also say that the Rebbe during Hurricane Andrew must have had some kind of a message from God, because no person in his life would say, stay in Florida.
Interesting point, yeah. Okay. Onward, talking further about Maaser of vegetables. Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Shviyas, it talks about Maaser and also about Shviyas. Ha'orez v'ha'doichan, the usual translation of orez is rice and doichan is millet. Rashi over here translates doichan as millet. There are other places where Rashi translates it as panitz, which is a different kind of species related to millet, and Rashi in those places actually translates rice as millet, which is why we have the famous question about what bracha you make on rice. The Velt holds that Urez is in fact rice, and therefore, as the Gemara says in brachas, you make mezonos on it. We hold that there's the suffix because of the fact that Rashi translates them the other way around, because Rashi translates Urez as millet rather than rice.
Wait, hold on. Urez, whatever it is, they don't know if it's rice.
You say mezonos. Right.
Mezonos.
Right. The question is what Urez is.
Right.
So most Rishonim translate odors as rice, and therefore, so that would be what it is. And the Velt follows that. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe in Hilchos Birkas Hanan points out that in various places, not over here, but in other places, Rashi translates odors as millet, and therefore rice is not odors.
Just
because of these Rashis, right. I think Rashi is not the only one, but yeah. Anyway, so because of that is why we have the suffix, and that's why we have when you're eating rice, you should eat it inside a meal of bread, and that way you don't have to make a separate bracha, and if not, then you say shakol on it, and yesh omerim that you can instead eat three different foods that are mezonos, hadama, and shakol, and then eat the rice, whatever. It's all based on that. But anyway, so going back to the Gemara, ha'oras, whatever it is, rice or millet, v'hadoichan, again, whatever it is, millet or rice or what have you, Progin. Rashi and most Rishonim translate progim as poppies. There is a different explanation. There is a different explanation that identifies it as a different kind of millet. Anyway, Dvash Shumshamin and sesame seeds. In modern Hebrew, porog means poppy seeds, right? And Rashi translates it that way over here. The Rambam translates that way. But there are some Rishonim who translate it as a species of millet. Anyway, whatever it is, vashumshumin and sesame seeds, sheishrishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if they took root in the ground before Rosh Hashanah, misasrin l'sha'avar, then the meiser of them is taken based on the previous year. In other words, they belong to the previous year. Here we're not talking about shlish, here we're not talking about lakita, as we're going to discuss. Here we're talking about when they take root is the year that they belong to. So they took root before Rosh Hashanah, which we learned the other day. We had a few different opinions how long it takes a crop to take root. We had an opinion that says it takes 3 days, an opinion that says it takes 2 weeks, an opinion that says it takes 3 days. And then in addition, we said we need another 30 days for it to count before Shemitah. Anyway, so if sheishrishu lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if these plants took root before Rosh Hashanah, misasrin l'sha'ava, then the maaser of them goes according to the previous year, maaser sheni or maaser oni, as the case may be, or mutorin b'shvius. And if you planted them in the year before Shemitah, then they'll be mutter. They don't have the dinim of Shemitah produce because they took root before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. The imlav, but if not, if they only took root after Rosh Hashanah, asurin b'shvius, then they're also on shvius, meaning according to the regular rules of Peiris shvius. In particular, you have a din d'rabbanon. You have a concept called svichim, where you have aftergrowth, things that you didn't plant deliberately, but seeds from the plants that you harvested previously fell in the ground and grew on their own. Where d'rabbanon, you have an isser to eat such svichim because the chachamim are concerned that people are going to plant deliberately and claim that it was an accident. So that's what we mean by a certain mishvius. Umis Aswin, the Shana Haba, and their Maiser goes according to the year, to the following year. If you planted them, let's say, during the second year, and they only took root after Rosh Hashanah of the third year, then they belong to the third year when you take Maiser on from them, and so forth. So, Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, let's figure out what the logic is here. Omer Rabban, and the Chachamim have told us as follows. Ilan Basa Chanota. When it comes to a tree, we go according to Chanota, and we determine the year that its fruit belongs to based on that. We're going to discuss later on what Chanota is exactly. Rashi in our sugya, not over here, but later on in our sugya, explains that Chanota means when the flower petals fall off and you first see the tiny little fruit over there. The Rambam rather describes Chanota as being the same as Onas HaMaisris, the same as the stage that the fruit reaches, which we talked about before, when it becomes Chayiv and Maiser, which, for example, for tree fruits would be, as we said before, when it reaches one-third of its growth.
Oh, one-third
of its growth.
What does it mean in which the word?
The word Chanota literally means budding.
Budding. Oh.
So according to Rashi, it means once the bud falls off and you see the tiny little fruit, according to the Rambam, it would mean once one-third
growth.
Once
the petal.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So Ilan goes according to Chanota. Tvur bezeisim basar shlish. Grain and olives, we said, go according to when they're one-third grown to determine what year they belong to. Yerek basar lakita. Vegetables, we said, go according to when they're picked for reasons that we're going to discuss in tomorrow's Gemara. That's the shame. But pani keman shavini rabbanon. This list that we just had, oras, doichan, progim, and shumshamin, we're saying yet another criteria. We're saying it goes according to when they took root. What are the Chachamim comparing? Where do they get that from? Where do they get that we have a fourth thing besides for Chanota and Shlish and Lakita? Why do we have a fourth one that applies only to these four species? So Omer Rabba, the Hodor Omer Rabba, then Rabba rethought himself and said, you know what? I realize what the reason for it is. Mitoch Shasuyin, Prochin, because these particular kinds of crops They are made. They're made to be that you gather them in and you gather them in and process them little by little. Prochen prochen means little by little, and it's from the Lashon pricha, which means to break them open. What you do is, in other words, you have with these kinds of things, odas and doichan and so forth. You don't harvest them all at once. You harvest and process them a little bit. Processing involves breaking open the shell of them. Like you have, for example, with you think of how it is, for example, with beans, let's say they grow inside a pod and you have to dry it and break open the pod to get the beans out. So these kinds of things you do a little bit at a time. So Tosfos points out what it is because you usually wait until they dry on the plant, and only then do you harvest them. And they don't all dry at the same time. You have a field of odors or a field of doichan or what have you. Not all of it is going to dry on the plant at the same time. Therefore, as you go through every day, you're going to notice what dried and pick that and break it open and get the seeds out.
So that's why you see the people have it in the right. They're just walking through.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So therefore, because since they made prochin, so therefore, if we were to say that the cutoff point is, did you pick them before or after Rosh Hashanah? If you were going to go according to Lakita, like you do with other vegetables, you're going to have a problem. It's going to be all mixed together. You're going to have some of it is this year's crop, some of it is last year's. You can't take Meiser, as we learned before. You can't take Meiser from one year's crop on a different year's. So therefore, you wouldn't have a proper way to give Meiser from them. So instead, Azli Rabbanan Basar Ashrasha. So therefore, the Chacham said better to go according to how it gets rooted in the ground. It all gets rooted at the same time. You plant it all at the same time. So therefore, that way you have an easy way of giving Truma and Meiser from it and not have to be concerned about that some of it is from last year and some of it is from this year. Tosfos actually asked the question. I mean, that works as far as Meiser, which is only the Rabbanan when it comes to plants like this. What about Shvius and Daraisa? How would that work? And the Tosfos says, okay, listen, maybe we're talking about Shvius Bizman Azeh, which is only Dirabanan. The Pnei Yeshua gives a different answer that since we're talking primarily about the issue of Svichim, again, that issue is only Dirabanan. Fine, as far as the dinim of cultivating the crops, you're right. There you would have to distinguish between before and after Rosh Hashanah. But in terms of the dinim of Svichim, that we say that you're not allowed to pick them and eat them, then fine, that's only Dirabanan as well. So that's why. So now we have, in other words, regular vegetables where you don't have that consideration. You pick them more or less from a certain area. You pick all the vegetables more or less at once. Therefore, we can go according to Lakita, as we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, why Lakita. And in the case of most other things, we go according to Chanota or according to Shlish. Shlish, we just said, we learned from the Pasuk. And then when it comes to these particular ones, because there's a different way of harvesting them, therefore you have a different criteria, and the criteria is when they take root. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says to Rabba, still, why did the Chachamim have to create a new criteria for these four types of crops just because of that problem of that you do them prochim prochim? Instead, the Yitzvah Goner L'Soichai, why don't we say you just gather it all together, make one big pile of everything that you process, and then we assume it's going to be relatively evenly mixed. And therefore, v'nim tzatarim, in a chodesh shabai l'chodesh shabai, v'na yashin shabai l'yashin shabai. Now, when you take out, so you have, let's say, you have a 100 bushels of oiras over here, and now you're going to take out 2 bushels for truma, and you're concerned the problem is that you have some of it is chodesh and some of it is yashin. So what? The whole thing is 50% chodesh, 50% yashin. The 2 bushels that you just took out for truma are also 50% chodesh and 50% yashin. So the 50% of it that's chodesh will be on behalf of the 50% of the rest of the pile that's chodesh, and the 50% of it that's Yoshan will be on behalf of the 50% that's Yoshan, and you're good.
And you'll just wait.
No, not even wait. So in other words, right. So in other words, the point is, why don't we say like this? Fine, you're doing prochim prochim. If you do a little today, you process some of the odors, tomorrow some more, etc. Eventually you do harvest the entire field. Now at that point, make one big pile of everything you harvested the last few weeks and take two of them out of it, then it'll be relatively evenly mixed.
What if you're hungry at the time?
So, okay, so you have dinim about you can eat a snack from it, and you have achilas sarai before, yeah. Okay. Mi loy tanya, after all, says Abaya, don't we learn in a braisa? Rav Yosef ben Kippur over Meshum Rav Shimon Shazuri, pul hamitzvi, when you have pul hamitzvi is a kind of beans, literally it means Egyptian beans, so it's whatever, some kind of bean that's native to or that grows well in Egypt. Shazorai lazer, now you have pul hamitzvi is one of those kinds of plants where you can have 2 different things from it that you eat. You can eat the beans of it, which are the seed, or you can eat the greenery. You can eat the leaves of it. So right now, we're talking right now, we're going to focus on the case, Shezore Lazera, where you planted it for the seed. So if you plant it for the greenery, then it's going to have different dinim, as we'll learn about tomorrow, as we'll learn about in the next couple of days, that's the Shem. But if you're planting it intending to eat the seeds, and intending to eat the peas, then miktsaseh hishrish lifnei Rosh Hashanah, if some of it took root before Rosh Hashanah, or miktsaseh hishrish lachar Rosh Hashanah, and some of it took root only after, ein terminum asur mizalzeh, says Rav Shimon Shazuri, you can't take truma and meiser from one batch on behalf of the other, lafisha ein terminum asur lemin achodesh ala yashan lemin yashan ala chodesh, because again you have the same problem, one belongs to one year, and the other belongs to the other year. In other words, Rav Shimon Shazuri is saying that pula mitzri also is in the category of the ones we just said, where you go according to hashrasha, and since they take root at different times, then you can't use that. So Kate said, so what do you do, says Rav Shimon Shazuri? You pile everything together. You pile the entire crop of beans all together. And you take truma. And again, everything is proportional. So, says Abaya to Rava, so why in the case of Oras, Doichan, etc., didn't the Chachamim do the same thing? Instead of saying that you have to go according to, that you have to go according to Hashrosha, and the reason is because when you process them prachim, do the same kind of thing as Rav Shimon Shazuri said you do with Pula Mitzri. Go according to Lakita, fine. But then at the end, you're going to gather it all together, and you take Truma and Meiser proportionally from it. And the answer is, Omalei, so Rabbi answers him, Rav Shimon Shazuri, Kamer. You're trying to prove from Rav Shimon Shazuri's opinion? That doesn't prove anything. Rav Shimon Shazuri, Sava Yesh Vila, Rabbanan Sabri Ein Vila. Rav Shimon Shazuri can hold that Yesh Vila, that when you have something, now when it comes to liquids, it's something else. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when you're talking about solids over here, you after all talking about Pula Mitzri, which are beans. So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, fine, when they're mixed together, we can assume that every part of the pile is equally mixed. So any random part that you would take out truma and meiser from is going to be a proportion of old and new that is the same as the proportion anywhere else in the pile. Fine, Rav Shimon Shazuri holds that. The Chachamim hold Ein Bila. The Chachamim say not necessarily. You may have one part of the pile where you have proportionately more chadosh and a different part where you have proportionately more yoshan, and you take out truma and meiser from it, and it's not going to work because you're taking out from chadosh on yoshan and from yoshan on chadosh. So not necessarily, because Rav Shimon Shazuri holds that you could do such a thing with the Chachamim agree. Actually, Tosfos asked the question, so if Rav Shimon Shazuri holds Yesh Bila, why does he need to go according to Ashrasha? Why doesn't he say that Pula Mitzri is the same as most other vegetables, and you go according to Lakita? If anyway, he's saying Yesh Bila. Tosfos leaves that question unanswered. A couple of different answers are given. One of them, the Baal Amor says, is that Rav Shimon Shazuri is saying, what I'm saying that you should be able to mix it is even according to you, Chachamim. Fine. You want to say that you want to say you go according to Hashrasha. I myself hold that Yesh Bila, and therefore it doesn't really matter whether we go according to Hashrasha or Lakita. We can mix it all together. But you who want to say that you go according to Hashrasha, so why don't you at least say that you have a method afterwards that involving Bila? And they say that no, we don't agree that Bila is going to work in this case because not necessarily doesn't get evenly mixed. That's one answer, and another answer is that even Rav Shimon Shazuri is not saying that Machila, you can do it like this. He's saying a b'diavadika thing. So there's no proof from what he says that the Chachamim have to agree to that, and that they should allow you to do the sova gona l'sofa. Therefore, they're going to say necessarily, since again the Oras and Doichan and so forth are prochim, they're done bit by bit. And therefore, if you were to try to, and therefore it'd be confusing to try and take Truma and Meiser from one batch, from each batch separately. Therefore, the Chachamim said, better let's go according to Ashrasha, and that way it's not considered to be different batches. That way it all belongs to one year. So the Gemara says, Amr Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni Amr Shmuel Halacha k'Rav Yosi ben Kippur Sh'amar Mishum Rav Shimon Shazuri. The halacha is like him, that you can do this tzover gona l'seicha. You're allowed to mix it all together. Consider that it's all evenly mixed and take truma and ma'aseh from it. So the Gemara says Umi Maskif l'Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira asks on that, is that really true that Shmuel said that? Umi Amr Shmuel Hachi. Well, Amr Shmuel, didn't Shmuel say Lakol Ein Bila Chutz Miyayin V'Shemen? We never say that Bila works except when it comes to wine and oil. So if you have, for example, you have, let's say, a batch of, you have a barrel of wine that you made last year and a barrel of wine from grapes that you harvested this year, not harvested, whatever, that grew shlish this year. So fine, you can mix that wine together and take truma and maaser from them together, because wine and oil liquids get thoroughly mixed. But not when it comes to solids. So how could he say the halacha is like Reb Shimon Chazuri, where Reb Shimon Chazuri's opinion requires us to say yesh bila for solids as well? And the answer is ishtemitze hoda amar Shmuel. Yes, but Reb Zera, when he asked the question, forgot that there was a third point that Shmuel had said, hakol hoylach acha gmar pri, that everything follows when the produce is finished growing. In other words, Shmuel says that we don't go according to Ashrasha. So now Shmuel, obviously being an Amora, is not able to argue with Tanoim. So Rashi says, evidently Shmuel must have found a different Tana who disagrees with the Mishnah that we just said, and says that when it comes to Oras and Doichan and so forth, you don't go according to Ashrasha, you go according to when they're fully developed, and Shmuel is basing himself on that. So therefore, so he's saying, when he says the halacha is like Reb Shimon Chazuri, he's not saying because I agree with Reb Shimon Chazuri that yesh bila. He's saying the fact is, practically speaking, you can use Reb Shimon Chazuri's method and mix it all together, because Shmuel said, so sort of Shimon Chazuri would say, because some of it is old and some of it is new, but it doesn't matter, yesh bila. Shmuel is saying, no, ein bila, like the Chachamim say. However, it doesn't matter, it all belongs to this year anyway, because it all finished growing in this year. So he's saying that when he says the halacha is like Reb Shimon Chazuri, he's telling you, practically speaking, you're a farmer, you should know you're going to be able to be tzorcha going to the soche. But when you're doing that, realize you're not doing it because Reb Shimon Chazuri's reason. You're doing it because anyway you go according to Gemara Pri, and all of them finish developing this year.
That's subject question. Saying that if the halacha is like Shimon Ben Zuri, it implies that they're yesh bila.
No.
Otherwise, you would have said.
In fact, we have now three statements of Shmuel. We have three statements of Shmuel that we just quoted. One, that the halacha is like Reb Shimon Chazuri. Number two, that ein bila chutz miyayin v'shemen. And the third one, hakol hachag ma'pri, will continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Tomorrow night, we'll talk about that, the fact that Shmuel, in fact, made all these three statements in order to thoroughly clarify what his shita is. You're right. If you just said Reb Shimon Chazuri, that wouldn't be enough. We would mistakenly think that it's because he holds yesh bila. Once we have the other two statements of his, taking them all three together, we fully understand his shita. So now Reb Shimon. So now
Reb Zera, under the impression that he made just two statements.
No, he made three statements. One, the halacha is like Reb Shimon Chazuri. Two, that ein bila chutz miyayin v'shemen. Now Reb Zera only knew of those two. He forgot that there was a third one that Shmuel had said, halachalachag ma'pri. So he thought the first two contradict each other. Now, once we have the third one, then we understand, what does it mean? Halacha k'Reb Shimon Chazuri. The practical thing that you can do is like Reb Shimon Chazuri, but not for the reason that he gave, but rather for a different reason because of ma'pri. Which we'll take up that point. We'll continue that point tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Yeah.